You're listening to the best travel podcast ever with Eric Hastings.
Well, I can't disagree with her on that. Welcome back. I am Eric, the travel guy. Thank you, Christina. And yes, you are listening to the best podcast in travel ever. I don't know if we can start the episode with me actually screwing up the title to the program, but you know what we're going to do? We're not going to restart because I have a lot to get to today. First of all, September 13th is the official day when when they say they're going to lift the mask wearing mandate on commercial airliners, which will hopefully in turn cut down on the number of, is fracases a word? I'm not sure fracases is a word, but the number of fracases on board because of the mask wearing or not wanting to wear a mask or the confusion. Again, this supports the whole, I've been saying this for years on this program. I didn't need a worldwide health pandemic to confirm it. I have been saying it, and I know even those of you listening say, well, Eric, I know that. I know to behave myself on an airplane. I mean, there's 300 people on board. It only takes one of us to divert to another airport because you tried to open the door or are unruly or are drunk. And so I appreciate the fact that you do know. And I'm always surprised. I wish there was like a badge or something that you could wear to say, I support Eric the Travel Guy's mission to be kind. And I think that's really difficult sometimes, too, because by the time you step on board an airplane to go anywhere, at least a commercial flight, so many things have to go right to keep your mood in check. There are so many touch points between stepping on board an airplane and sitting in your seat and the time you left your house. That all has to go right. And if any part of that equation falters, well, then you, in fact, may not be in the best of moods by the time you sit down. And you know what? That's not the flight attendant's fault. Okay? And again, this is you, and I realize it's you, and I don't want to get on a soapbox because we have to talk about Pennsylvania today. We have to talk about the Eric Path. Hello. We've got to talk about the official merch. We have that to get to today. So we have got a lot to get to. Washington, D.C. We have to talk about that a little bit today. But let me finish my thought here. Because not only is it really important for you to, in my opinion, follow these guidelines, do it for you. Do it for the sanity of the flight crew. Do it to be an example to your other seatmates to say, you know what? Yeah, I can behave myself too. I can. And it starts at home. You say, Eric, what are you talking about here? Come on. I'm a grown person, but I'm having trouble following. Listen, I'm assuming by the time you have stepped on board that flight that you have done everything that you are supposed to do. You've done everything that the airline has asked you to do, which includes showing up to the airport on time. And by the way, there's a little trick there about that. When you book, we were talking about this the other day on WABC. I was kind enough, Frank Morano was kind enough to ask me to come and visit the Jet Set Juliet report. Juliet was gone, and they asked me to come in and sit down, which I really appreciated. I thought that was very kind of them to do. And one of the things that we were talking about there is something that I will remind you. When you book a seat on an airline to go somewhere, and you download their app, and you do all the things you're supposed to do. All right, well, on the app, there are two times that are really critical for you to understand the difference between, okay? Because this is all about the timing. And the reason it's all about the timing is because the airlines are in the business to make money and to turn a profit for their shareholders. Shares that you can buy, by the way, and become an owner of or a part owner of American Airlines or United or Delta or what have you. Nevertheless, they are in the business of making money. And when the planes are on the ground, they're not making money, they're losing money, okay? So this is all about the timing. So a plane shows up, let's just say on Southwest, let's say it's from Dallas, Love Field, into LaGuardia. It pulls up to the gate. It empties the passengers out. It has to be completely cleaned. The luggage has to come off. The new luggage has to come on. The craft service, or whatever it is they call that, with all the dirty water has to go off, and the fresh water has to come on. And then the crew has to change, okay? The pilots have to, the co-pilot, the captain, the first officer, the second officer, the flight attendant, that all has to be changed out, etc. And then you need to show up and get on the plane when they tell you to. Now, the question is, when are they going to tell you to do that? I have the answer for you. Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. Now? Okay, hold on. Incidentally, this portion of the Best Travel Podcast Ever is being brought to you by Lou and Connie's Non-Essential Oils. With the rise in popularity of essential oils, this husband and wife Cleveland-based powerhouse couple developed a complete line of organic, non-GMO, BPA-free, non-essential oils designed for everyday use and do absolutely nothing for you. That's because they're non-essential. Why? Because not essential. That's why. Begin your monthly subscription. Oh, I love this subscription. Today at LouAndConnie'sNonEssentialOils.com. And by the way, you can buy the t-shirt while you're at it. Are you kidding me? We do? Oh my gosh. Let me pull it up on the computer box. I got to see the Lou and Connie non-essential oil t-shirt. Hold on. All right. We'll get that. there they are. Oh my gosh. You have to see this. All right. This is on my Etsy shop. I don't know what the URL is, but type in Eric the Travel Guy. You'll find it and you'll see it. You can buy a Lou and Connie's non-essential oils t-shirt right there on the store. Okay. Sorry for the interruption, but hey, listen, we got to pay the bills. What are you going to do? All right. Back to this. So here, and this is where it comes down to you. The two times that you need to be aware of with this reservation, and that is the time that the plane is scheduled to depart and the boarding time. Now, both of those times are provided to you through their app, or their flight status reports. You're able to see, it's pretty prevalent where those two times are located. So look on any of your airline apps, you'll see there's a boarding time and there is a departure time. Now, when I say things like you need to show up to the airport 90 minutes prior to your scheduled departure, okay, or prior to your scheduled boarding time, okay, that's what that means. Or I say show up 90 minutes prior to your flight. Okay, well, that's a little vague. So we're going to have to clean that up a little bit because it's actually 90 minutes from your boarding time for domestic flights. Why 90 minutes? Because if you're checking luggage, that luggage needs to be on board 1 hour or more, or needs to be checked into the airline system about an hour or more prior to your departure time. Okay. Now you say, now I'm doing math. Why am I doing math? I thought I'm on vacation. Agree. I'm with you. I'm agreeing with you. That's why I don't want you to worry about it. What I want you to know is your boarding time. And that boarding time could be up to 45 minutes prior to your departure time. Okay. So know your departure time, but more important, know your boarding time. And by the way, those of you that fly internationally or have in the past, you may have noted that those times are even greater than 45 minutes. Why? It takes longer to load up more passengers onto a plane, and they have more checks and things that they have to do before they leave the country with a plane full of people. So that's really important that you do your part and understand what your part is and the role that you need to play, because that's really going to help your day. And so going back to when I said to, all right, you know what to do. Okay, now we need to start with the day of your flight. I don't want you to wear flip-flops on an airplane. I don't want you to wear sweatpants on an airplane, especially on a short-haul flight. Anything under 5 hours, you need to wear comfortable clothing, but not sweatpants, not a tube top, not a swimsuit, okay? Comfortable clothing shall do. Closed-toed shoes, okay, sandals, fine, not flip-flops. Brush your hair, no perfume. Shower, for heaven's sakes. Brush your teeth, have a mint handy in case you drink the coffee at the in the airport, or maybe you had a salami sandwich. That's the other thing. If you're going to bring food on board, don't bring some nasty, smelly food on board. That's disgusting. And by the way, who cares about the other passengers? Do it for the flight crew. They didn't need that. That's like somebody coming to your desk and sitting down next to you eating a tuna salad, tuna melt sandwich, and it's like you can't do anything about it. Flight attendants can't tell you to put that away because it's smelly. No. You need a little common sense. And then, after you're done with your lunch or your dinner or your breakfast on board, you put all the crap in the bag and put a mint in your mouth. There you go. Do that. Why? Because it's common decency. It's common courtesy. You know, I don't want to. I get worked up. Well, I'll tell you why. Because I want you going places. I want you traveling. I want you experiencing new cultures. I want you eating new foods. I want you hiking in new locations. Because I'm looking to you to solve the world's problems, okay? And you can't solve the world's problems. I can't solve all of them, okay? I'm going to solve some of them, all right? But you need to solve some of them. And how are you going to do that if you're not in the right frame of mind? And how do you get in the right frame of mind? Well, one of the ways you could do it is to go out and how can you possibly solve the world's problems if you don't even understand anything about the world? Go explore it, for heaven's sakes. That's why we travel. I want you to do that. You can do this. Believe me, you can. I am channeling the travel muse as we speak. He or she, doesn't really matter, is speaking through me right now. And I'm talking directly with you, not someone else. Not someone else's problem, you. We are simpatico. We are brothers. We are sisters. We are friends. We are soulmates. I got you. I'll do my part, but you do your part. And one of those things is to behave yourselves on an airplane. Okay. Sorry, not sorry. All right. Enough about that. I can't. Well, I'm sorry. You know, don't look at me that way. I'm just saying, I get a little, it frustrates me because the flight crews don't deserve it. It frustrates me because the fellow passengers don't deserve it. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having a cocktail, for heaven's sakes. But when you have too many, okay, then that's a problem. Okay? What? And that very same person, if I told you that, I said, would you smoke in the bathroom of an airplane, that person would be like, no, that's outrageous. I would never do that. But you have no problem having seven, you know, Johnny Walker Blacks in the airport bar prior to getting on board an aircraft. Really? You don't think that that's not egregious and you can't keep it together, for heaven's sakes? This portion of the best travel podcast ever is being brought to you by Summer's Evening Hand Detoxifier. That can't be. That's not real. Haven't your hands had enough of this pandemic? Finally, organic detoxifying relief for your hands in a convenient non-toxic spray, lotion, or gel. Perfect for the casual airplane passenger. What? A casual airplane passenger? Summer's Evening Hand Detoxifier can be used on your hands, feet, face, teeth, and gums, armrest, tray table, seatbelt, and seatmate. Visit handdetox.com today and receive a 10% off discount on your first order if you mention Eric the Travel Guy. That's handdetox.com. We released a new video last week, maybe it was this week. I don't, you know, they don't tell me everything. And the reason we did it is because we were talking in the office about on the beaten path versus off the beaten path. And I'm going to take a drink of coffee. I actually need to reshuffle in my seat just a little bit because it's sort of I wouldn't say it's a touchy subject, but it's a contentious subject because this all depends upon a few factors. And I know, you know, we have different types of listeners, right? So that you're not all the same. We're not all the same. Of course, we're different. So I made this video because I was like, all right, well, let's do some help, right? Like, I'm here to help you. I want to help you. If this is something you need help with, and undoubtedly, even if you think you don't need help with this, you probably do, because we all do. And believe me, I travel for a living, and I still kind of wrestle with this from time to time, although it's a little more formulaic for me these days. If you're beginning some trip planning right now, or if you're in the process of it, or whomever is in your household, oh, my coffee cup is leaking. Pass this video on to them, or you can certainly pass the podcast on to them as well. But the video we made is like 3 minutes long. So the Eric Path is a blend of on the beaten path things and off the beaten path things. So it's sort of a mindset of saying, looking at your destination, looking at your vacation location and saying, okay, first of all, this is in addition to whatever it is you're going to do, by the way. Whatever it is you're going, if you're going on a ski trip, it goes without saying that you're going skiing, okay? Like, that's what you're doing. If you're going on a Las Vegas trip to gamble, then this is in addition to the gambling, okay? Or on a beach trip where you just want to lay by the beach and do nothing, this is in addition to that, okay? I have a trip coming up to Hilton Head, and I know kind of what we're going to be doing day to day, but then I always think about, like, okay, what else could we do? Like, what else is there to see? What else is there, you know, especially on a new place, okay? Now, on a new place, new to you, I should say, on a place that's new, you're going to undoubtedly run into, when you start to look at what there is to do and see there, you're going to run into what some would consider to be cliche, or, you know, tried and true, or in the worst case, I think, they're called tourist traps things. Okay. Now, in the video, I gave the example of the Empire State Building, but big cities are famous for these. Like, they have lots of examples of these. Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, New York, Boston, Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, Seattle, you know, like going to the Space Needle in Seattle. It's kind of you say, well, that's kind of cliche. That's what all the tourists do. I don't want to do that. I mean, okay. Well, first of all, why not? All right. But first of all, you know, the Space Needle in Seattle is only one of those. I realize there's one in Las Vegas, but there's like, you know, but that's just one of those things that you could do. And that's on the beaten path. But then there are certainly other things that are off the beaten path. The problem with the off the beaten path is it's sort of a catch-all for everything. Okay. And I really do want to encourage you to say, you know, what is it that you like to do? What do you like to see? What do you want to do museums? Do you want to do hands-on things? Do you want to do more active things? Do you want to do rock climbing or kayaking or hiking or biking, or maybe you want to do deep sea fishing? You know, it depends upon what you wish to do, that will then dictate a lot of those off the beaten path kind of things. So, In summation here, just to help you, because I know we're running a little long on today's show, and then we got to wrap it up. In summation, we didn't even talk about Pennsylvania, so we got to get to that in a few minutes, but we'll do that on the next episode. In summation here, this is what I do. If you're looking to DIY this, first of all, we make curated guides, okay, for places that we've been. We're in the process of doing it right now. They're not all ready, but we're starting to release them little by little. You can take a look at them. They're $5 or $4.99 a piece, okay? And it's like 32 pages worth of stuff, okay? Very specific things. And that's one way to get things started, because when we produce an episode of the show, one of the things that we're looking to do, which is something that you might want to consider for your own vacation, is you want to leave that destination knowing that you sort of captured the essence of that place. And how do you do that besides just looking? You know, like, how do you interact with the essence or the soul? Sometimes we call it the soul of that place. How do you do it? Well, one of the things you do is you do the on-the-beaten-path things, some of them. Not all of them, of course, because this also has to do with the duration of your trip. So what I do is I simply make a list of things that of on-the-beaten-path things that I want to do. I just make a list, and then after I write that list, I prioritize that. And then I make a list of locations within that destination that I'm interested in. The beach, these neighborhoods, whatever it is, I prioritize that list. And I usually do that before I book my hotel and after I book my air. Usually that's where that slides right in, to kind of say, because you could, you know, maybe stay in a hotel in a neighborhood that you wanted to see, but there's not a whole lot to do in that neighborhood. You see my point here? And then I make a list of questions that I'd like to have answered by the time I get home. And I prioritize those because, again, I'm looking to capture sort of the essence of that particular place. And if you look at the guides that we have made so far, and we've, like I said, our first season of episodes, we're going to do guides for each one of those episodes, most of them, I should say. And you'll see evidence of that because I'm sort of actively interested in lots of things. But I don't want to do too much of the same thing. So I need diversity in the things that I do on vacation. All right. That's all the time we have. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate it. Again, go online, ericthetravelguy.com, and check out the official merchandise, too. I think you'll really love some of the T-shirts. And we'll continue this conversation again. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the best travel podcast ever with Eric Hastings. Don't worry, we will return again.